we interviewed him, and we said that he would make a great intern because he's interested in ministry and what God's calling him to, and we love training up new young leaders. And so his name is Landon. So I'm going to invite Landon to come up and share a little bit with us about who he is. And everybody, this is Landon. Say hi.
Awesome. It's nice to meet you all. Is the slideshow ready? Okay. I start off with a really nice photo. This is me and my family. You'll see why I had to pick such a nice photo in just a minute. I'm going to share a bit of my testimony along the narrative of relationship and worth in my life, just really quick to give you guys an idea of why I'm passionate in this area. So these are my siblings. We're all really close together within 6 years. Two older sisters, one younger brother. We're chronological right there. Beautiful family, right? Okay, you can go to the next photo. So, this is how I grew up. I'm from Calgary, Alberta, so we went hiking a lot, lived in the mountains. My parents are actually missionaries, so my dad was gone a lot, like different countries, Morocco. They actually were pregnant with my oldest sister in Brazil and almost ended up staying there because they were invited in by the community, but thank goodness they didn't, because now I get to be here with you guys. So, next photo. This one's actually my favorite. No, not quite. Okay. So, when we were kids, we were so creative. We had no technology, no video games, none of that. We were like a little clan, a little unit. My parents would just release us into the woods, and we would just go. And, like, so many different adventures. And the greatest part about this was we were so tight, people were just attached to us. So when our friends came in, they were just a part of the four of us. And so if you see my oldest sister standing there with that evil grin, she's like the mastermind of this operation. She knew how to communicate with adults. She knew how to, like, she was our advocate. So whatever we needed to happen, she made it happen. She's like, no, I can't do that. We'll get in trouble. Yada, yada. Let's not hurt ourselves. But yeah, excellent role model. Okay. Next photo. This one is by far the most shameful photo that I could find for me and my siblings. As you can see, like, in the woods, this is just what I said. Okay, so a little more about me. My entire life growing up, all about friends. My dad would call me a friendaholic. He's like, you're always gone, you're always doing this. And I guess I learned that from the tight bonds I formed when I was really young. But as I went through high school, you meet different people. Everyone has different values, and you attach different people, and then their values kind of like brush up against yours, create some friction, and then you make decisions, right? And so I've made a lot of decisions in my life, and a lot of them were good ones. So let's just say end of high school, I came out of high school, and my parents are missionaries, so all my friends left to university. I was like, what am I doing with my life? And I was like, Mom and Dad, you go to the next photo. These lovely people, amazing people. Actually, Jen got to meet them on Friday. But I was like, why don't you tell me that I need to pursue an academic career? Like, I'm out of high school. I did not perform well in high school because I was not interested in high school. And yikes, like, that's kind of where it's at. And so I ended up working that year. And by the way, I was a missionary, so I grew up Christian in the church in different communities. I went to university events all over the country where my dad was speaking, and so I hung out with a lot of university students just as a little munchkin, just harassing them and running around the halls, like, you know. And, okay, so after high school, I came into this conflict in my life because my identity was kind of in there, but then it's kind of with my friends, and it's just kind of all over the place. So I had to make this decision. What am I going to do? And so I had to kind of answer this big question in my life where I was like, hey, where am I going to find purpose? Like, what do I do? And so I've come up with this little metaphor for you guys that is kind of like, it'll describe how God convicted me. So this is an American $1 bill. Can anyone tell me how much this is worth? Yeah, so my answer actually to this is a unique answer. This is worthless, right? It's got a monetary value to a society that I don't live in, right? So it's just a piece of paper to me right now, right? So, yeah. So this is kind of how I view people, right? So their value equates to however they spend their life. So I'll explain quick. So when you're developing to the world, you kind of have to decide what you want to pursue, what you want to value. So some of my friends were very sensationalistic. So they pursued like here for a short time and a good time kind of idea. And then some of my friends were very materialistic. They pursued like, I want a house, I want fancy things, I want to go out and just achieve money. Like that's what I want, and then the rest will follow. And so I kind of checked myself and was like, what has value? Like, what is real value? And the answer I came up with was anything that lasts for eternity, right? Anything that has longevity, that has an existential impact and makes waves, like... And so the only thing that does that is people and human souls, like... And so that's where this sort of came in, because I was like, okay, my life spent on this is worthless. My life spent on this is worthless. But God has actually placed a value on people, right? And people are priceless. Right, and so that's just how I see, that's how I see people and kids, and so that's kind of how he's driven me. And I've got some scripture actually to back this up. I'm not just over here spouting off. So James 1:10 says, "But the rich should take pride in their humiliation, since they will pass away like a wildflower." And Psalms 103:15-16 says, "The life of mortals is like grass; they will flourish like a flower in the field. The wind blows over it, and it is gone. And its place remembers it no more." And then Psalm 144 says, "Man is like a breath. His days are like a passing shadow." So, now the positive side is people, right? People everywhere. People, I love people. Regardless of who you are, regardless of where you're from, whatever community, denomination. So I have Philippians 3:8. It says, "Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage so that I can gain Christ." And if you know Jesus, Jesus is for his people. So that's a bit of my testimony. Oh, so after this conviction, right? Okay, I just leave you on that. I've just been pursuing ministry. I've been a part of like two or three different youth groups. I've been a part of four camps since that. Last summer I worked at a Presbyterian camp down in Wyoming. They were getting shut down by their board, and my sister was making their t-shirts for them and called me and was like, "These guys are toast. It's not going to happen. Camp's getting shut down." And so I called a friend from Calgary. My sister came down as the cook, and I went, planned the whole summer, was the co-director. And we saved the camp after one summer. Like 40% of the kids came back for another week and another week. And obviously God was moving. So I'm really happy to be here and meet all of you guys. You guys have been so welcoming. Just thank you so much. So.